السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة فخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أي عباد الله، كل شأن ذي بال عند الناس له في الإسلام عناية بالغة، ومن ذلك ما يصاحب الإنسان من البيئة حوله، كالكلاب التي كان ولا زال الناس فيها بين شغوف بها وفار منها متقدر لها. فماذا قال الإسلام في شأنها؟ لقد ذكر القرآن الكلاب في مواضع عدة، مثل قوله تعالى من سورة الكهف: وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال، وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوسيط، لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا. وكذلك قوله سبحانه في سياق الآيات من السورة ذاتها: سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم، ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب، ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم، قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل، فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا. وقال سبحانه كما في المائدة: يسألونك ماذا أحل لهم، قل أحل لكم الطيبات وما علمتم من الجوارح مكلبين تعلمونهن مما علمكم الله، فكلوا مما أمسكنا عليكم واذكروا اسم الله عليه واتقوا الله إن الله سريع الحساب. وقال سبحانه في الأعراف: ولو شئنا لرفعناه بها ولكنه أخلد إلى الأرض واتبع هواه، فمثله كمثل الكلب إن تحمل عليه يلهث أو تتركه يلهث، ذلك مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله، فاقصص القصص لعلهم يتفكرون. هذا ما جاء في القرآن من ذكر الكلاب. فأما أحكام الكلاب فمحل بسطها في أحاديث الرسول الكريم عليه الصلاة والسلام كما سيأتي بيانه، ومن نصوص القرآن والسنة، ومن نصوص القرآن الصريحة والسنة الصحيحة. استنبط العلماء أحكام الكلاب كما سنبينه ليكون للناس إماما، وسنبين ما يتعلق باقتناء الكلاب وتربيتها وبيعها وشرائها وأزمانها وصيدها ولعابها، ومكان بقائها المشروع والممنوع. فأقول وأرعوني سمعكم يا رعاكم الله: لقد جاء الوعيد في من يقتني كلبا لغير ما حاجة، فإنه ينقص من أجله كل يوم قيراط. والقيراط كما في حديث ثوبان عند مسلم: القيراط مثل أحد. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من اتخذ كلبا إلا كلب زرع أو كلب صيد ينقص من أجله كل يوم قيراط. رواه مسلم عن أبي هريرة وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه. وعند البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من أمسك كلبا، أمسك بمعنى اقتنى ليس بمعنى مس، من أمسك كلبا فإنه ينقص من عمله كل يوم قيراط إلا كلب حرث أو كلب ماشية. بل قد جاء أنه ليس ينقص من أجله قيراط واحد فقط، بل قيراطان، كما في حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما: من اقتنى كلبا إلا كلب ماشية أو ضاريا، يعني من الضوار التي تصيد، نقص من عملي كل يوم قيراطان. متفق عليه. ومن اتخذ كلبا يصحبه معه لغير حاجة فإن الملائكة لا تصحبه، ومن لا تصحبه الملائكة كان عرضة للشياطين. فقد جاء في الحديث عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تصحب الملائكة رفقة فيها كلب ولا جرس. رواه مسلم. والبيت الذي فيه كلب لا تدخله الملائكة، فإن لم تدخله الملائكة دخلته الشياطين. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الملائكة لا تدخل بيتا فيه كلب ولا صورة. متفق عليه عن علي رضي الله عنه. ومما تقدم يتبين لنا أن اقتناء الكلاب لا يجوز، إلا كلب صيد أو ماشية أو زرع، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أمسك كلبا فإنه ينقص من عمله كل يوم قيراط إلا كلب حرث أو كلب ماشية. رواه البخاري عن أبي هريرة. ولقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ماشية أو صيد أو زرع انتقص من أجله كل انتقص من أجله كل يوم قيراط. متفق عليه، من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه. ويلتحق بها كلاب الحراسة للمتاجر والمنازل إن احتيج إليها، وكلاب البحث عن الجناة والمجرمين، وكلاب البحث عن المفقودين، فهذه كلاب يجوز اقتناؤها لمسيس الحاجة إليها فهي من الحراسة. ولئن أجيز اقتناء الكلاب لما تقدم من أسباب، إلا أنها لا يجوز بيعها ولا شراؤها، وأن ثمنها حرام، كما في حديث أبي مسعود رضي الله عنه: نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ثمن الكلب ومهل البغي وحلوان الكاهن. رواه الجماعة. وعند أحمد من حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ثمن الخمر حرام، ومهر البغي حرام، وثمن الكلب حرام. صححه الشيخ الألباني كما في صحيح الجامع. بل لقد أخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن ثمن الكلب خبيث، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ثمن الكلب خبيث، ومهر البغي خبيث، وكسب الحجام خبيث. رواه مسلم عن رافع بن خديج. بل أخبر أنه شر كسب، فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: شر الكسب مهر البغي وثمن الكلب وكسب الحجام. رواه مسلم عن رافع بن خديج. وأخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه إذا جاء أحد يطلب ثمن الكلب فملأ كفه ترابا. رواه أبو داود عن ابن عباس، وصححه الألباني. هذا الحكم منسحب على جميع الكلاب، حتى كلب الصيد فلا يجوز بيعه وأخذ ثمنه، لعموم قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه: نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ثمن الكلب. رواه الترمذي وحسنه الألباني. والأحاديث الواردة في التفريق بين الكلاب، يعني كلاب الصيد والزرع والماشية وغيرها، وأنه يجوز أخذ ثمن كلب الصيد دون غيره، كلها أحاديث معلولة وضعيفة ومنكرة. وهذا القول وهو تحريم ثمن الكلب هو القول الصحيح الذي يصار إليه، ولا يفرق بين كلب وآخر، وهذا هو قول جمهور العلماء. وليعلم أن ما جاز من اقتناء كلاب الصيد أو الزرع والماشية لا يعفى من أحكام مثل ولوغها في الآنية، فإنها جميعا تعامل معاملة واحدة، وأنها جميعا نجاستها مغلظة. فقد ثبت في الصحيحين عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: إذا ولغ الكلب في إناء أحدكم فليغسله سبعا، وفي رواية: ثمان مرات إحداهن بالتراب. وهذا عام في كل كلب. ولينسحب هذا الحكم على جلد الكلب وذيله وعرقه وبوله، أم هو خاص باللعاب دون غيره؟ الصواب أنه خاص باللعاب دون غيره، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعلم بوقوع ذلك من تعرق الكلاب وتبولها وتغوطها ومن ملامسة البشر لها، ولكنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يقض فيها بشيء. وأما اللعاب الذي يكون من الكلب حين صيده فإنه ينظر إن كان الكلب قد صاد لنفسه فإنه متنجس ولا يجوز أكل صيده، وإن كان أرسله صاحبه فإنه لا يضر، ولكن عليه غسل موضع عض الكلب ولعابه، ثم عليه ذكر اسم الله عليه، وعليه نحره. وهل يعامل معاملة الإناء في الغسل، أعني اللعاب الذي سال من فم الكلب على هذا الصيد، هل يعامل معاملة الإناء فيغسل سبعا أو ثمان مرات إحداهن بالتراب أم لا؟ الصواب أنه لا يعامل معاملة الآنية، لأن الذي أمر بغسل الإناء سبعا علم بما يكون من سيلان لعاب الكلب أثناء صيده ولم يأمر به بشيء. وهل يجزئ الصابون أو سائر المنظفات اليوم عن التراب؟ الصواب أنه لا يجزئ إلا حيث تعذر وجود التراب. أقول ما سمعتم وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين. أما بعد عباد الله، فإن الفقه في الدين من المطالب الأكيدة والأمور المفيدة، ومن هنا أقول إنه وإن كان يجوز اقتناء الكلاب للأسباب المتقدم ذكرها، إلا أنه ينبغي أن يعلم أن ثم أمور ينبغي معرفتها، وهي: أولا، لعاب الكلاب نجس بل هو أغلب النجاسات على الإطلاق. ثانيا، هذه النجاسات لا تضر إلا إن وقعت في الإناء فلا بد من غسل ثمان مرات إحداهن بالتراب، وأما إذا وقعت على الثياب أو ما شابه ذلك فإنها تغسل مرة واحدة بالماء. ومنها أنه لا يجوز إدخالها البيوت، ومتى أدخلت امتنعت الملائكة من الدخول فيها. ومنها أن مرور الكلاب عامة والأسود منها خاصة بين يدي المصلي يقطع الصلاة، كما في الحديث عن أبي هريرة وعبد الله بن مغفل: يقطع الصلاة الحمار والمرأة والكلب. متفق عليه. وقد خص الأسود منها لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما في حديث ابن عباس المتفق على صحته: يقطع الصلاة المرأة الحائض والكلب الأسود. ومعنى المرأة الحائض أي التي بلغت، وليس المقصود بها التي هي حال حيضها. وقد أجاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن تخصيص الكلب الأسود دون غيره في إجابته للصحابي الجليل أبي ذر رضي الله عنه حين سأله: فما بال الأسود؟ فقال: الكلب الأسود شيطان. رواه الإمام أحمد وأصحاب السنن وصححه الألباني. وليعلم عباد الله أنه لا يجوز قتل الكلاب إلا ما كان منها عقورا، وهو المسعور الذي يعض كل من لقيه في طريقه، فإنه يقتل لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: خمس بواسق يقتلن في الحل والحرم: الحجأة والغراب والفأرة والعقرب والكلب العقور. وفي لفظة: الحية مكان الكلب العقور. متفق عليه. وحتى لا يقال إن أهل الإسلام ليس عندهم عناية بحقوق الحيوان، فإليكم هذا الحديث عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: غفر الله لامرأة مومسة مرت بكلب على رأس ركي أي بئر، يلهث كاد يقتله العطش، فنزعت خفها فأوثقته بخمارها، فنزعت له من الماء فغفر لها بذلك. رواه البخاري. وفي الحديث: وفي كل ذات كبد رطبة أجر. هذا ما أمكن جمعه وبيانه باختصار من أحكام هذه الحيوانات ألا وهي الكلاب. فاتقوا الله عباد الله، واجتنبوا كل ما يغضب الله، فإنه بكم سميع بصير، وبخفايا صدوركم عليم خبير، وهو على كل شيء قدير. فاللهم اعصمنا من الزلل، ووفقنا لصالح القول والعمل. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Thank you.
الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters. To the translation of this khutbah, which will be done as usual with خطبة الحاجة. And then I said, verily, O slaves of Allah, every matter in Islam that people respect and look for it, Islam has gave it very high and intensive care. The like of the environment around mankind, such as the dogs, which people used to be and still of two different types with it. Some are in deep love with dogs, and others run away from dogs. Quran has mentioned the dogs in several places in it, as in Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 18, where Allah Ta'ala said, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَابًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. And we turn them to
to the right side. Look to them and you think that they are sleeping. But we turn them to the right and to the left. While their dog extending its arms in the middle of the cave. And Allah Ta'ala said, سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتي. They will say, meaning the people who found the people of Cain, those people will say there were three and the fourth was their dog. And some will say, no, there were five, and the sixth was their dog. Just guessing, while they don't know the unseen. And they will say, seven, and the eighth is their dog. Say then, my Lord is the one who is full aware of them, and knows their quantity, or their number. As for only little people, know them. So do not debate with them in regard to this, except just a slight and apparent debate. And don't ask any of them about those ones. And as Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 4, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وما علمتم من الجوارح مكلبين تعلمونهن مما علمكم الله فكلوا مما أمسكنا عليكم واذكروا اسم الله عليه واتقوا الله إن الله سريع الحساب. They ask you about what is made lawful for them, meaning to eat. You say then, everything good is made lawful for you to eat, including what you have taught your animals to hunt, such as dogs and falcons, from what they have held for you, meaning not for themselves. And then you recite the name of Allah before these hunted animals, and fear Allah and know that Allah is quick in His recognition and punishment. And as Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 176, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِنْ تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَاقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And if we wish, and if we will, we would have raised him up by it. But he decided to stick to the ear and follow his own desire. So the verbal or example of his is the verbal or example of the dog. You send it for any duty or you leave it alone, it's still the dog. Brings its tongue out the way of being tired or thirsty. That is the example of those people who deny in the ayat of Allah the evidences and proofs. So recite for them the stories of the life, so they might think. This is all what been mentioned in the Quran about dogs. But the rulings of dogs is widely explained and mentioned in the traditions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as what we are going to explain. And from the text of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. The ulama has taken out the rulings of dogs as what we are going to explain for you people. And we are going to clarify whatever relates to owning dogs, raising them up and taking care of them, selling them and buying them, and the money comes out of them, meaning the price, hunting with dogs and the saliva of dogs, as well as what of these dogs is permissible to hold and what is not. So listen carefully to me. The thread came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to one who owns a dog with no need, without any necessity of, that his reward would drop each day of holding dog a qirar. And a qirar is, as the Prophet ﷺ explained in the Hadith of Thawban Muslim, that it equals the same size of the mountain of Uhud in Medina. That is what the Muslim going to lose every day while holding a dog. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith reported by Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, man ittakhadha kalban, whoever holds a calf or takes a dog, except a dog of farm or dog for hunting. The one who holds a dog other than these two, his reward will be reduced each day as the amount of Iraq. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever holds a dog, then he will lose from his deed each day as the amount of the size of Iraq, which is the size of Uhud, except the dog for the farm or the sheep. However, in other hadith, it is not only one qirat, but two qirat, as in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, which is agreed upon. Whoever holds a dog, except a dog for sheep or hunting, then this person will lose each day two qirat. And whoever takes a dog, accompany him wherever he goes for no need, then the angels would not accompany him. And whoever the angels do not accompany, then the shayateen will be surrounding him, accusing him, attacking him, possessing his body. As in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reported by Imam Muslim, لا تصحب الملائكة رفقة فيها كلب ولا جرس. The angels would never accompany any group or any person or persons that have a dog with them or a bell. And the house in which a dog is held, the angels never get in. And when the angels do not get into a house, then the shayateen will get eased. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, agreed upon on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, إن الملائكة لا تدخل بيتا فيه كلب ولا صورة. Verily the angels would never enter a house in which there is a dog or a picture hung on wall. Of course, this explanation is from the other hadith. And from all what has been presented till now, we come to know that owning dogs is not permissible, except for one of three purposes: to hunt, or to guard the sheep, or to guard the farm. As in the hadith reported by Bukhari on the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, whoever holds a dog, then he will lose reward of good deeds as a qirar, except for a dog of farm or a dog of sheep, meaning to guard the farm or the sheep. And as he saw Sallam said in the hadith agreed upon on the authority of Abu Hurairah, whoever holds a dog, except a dog for sheep or a dog for hunting or a dog for farm, then his reward would drop for each day a qirar. Similar to these three kinds of dogs, the dog of hunting, dog of farm, dog of sheep, is dog which has been owned and held for guarding the houses or shops, as well as the dogs that are used to find out the criminals, or the dogs for customs, as well as the dogs which are used to find out people who are covered by demolished buildings, like in the earthquakes or hurricanes or whatsoever. These dogs are allowed to be owned and held. For that, the need is there for these purposes. But although it is said that it is permissible to own such kind of dogs, for the reasons mentioned, but we still got to know that it is not permissible to sell them or buy them, and the money comes out of that is forbidden, as the hadith of Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, where the Prophet ﷺ, where he said that the Prophet ﷺ forbade the price of dog and the reward of prostitute and the reward of the witchcraft or sorcery. And this hadith is reported by the Jama'ah, meaning all the people of hadith. And in Musnad Ahmad, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the price of khamr, wine, is forbidden, and the reward for the prostitute is forbidden, and the price of dog is forbidden. This hadith is authenticated by Albani. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the money comes out of dog, meaning the price, money that comes out of selling dogs, is the worst income ever owned. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Rabi' ibn Khadij, in Sahih Muslim, ثَمَنُ الْكَلْبِ خَبِيثٌ ثَمَنُ الْكَلْبِ خَبِيثٌ. The price of dog is bad. وَمَهْرُ الْبَغِيِّ خَبِيثٌ. And the reward of the prostitute is bad. It's evil. The price of dog is evil. And the reward of the prostitute is evil. And even the income of the hajjam, the couple, is also evil. A number missing. However, he said, Isa Sallam said, Shar which is evil. In the other hadith of Rabi' ibn Khadij, in Sahih Muslim as well. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one come to you claiming for the price of the dog that he sold, for, he sold to you, then fill his hand with soil, as reported by Abu Dawood on the terms of Ibn Abbas and authenticated by Albani. This ruling is for all the dogs, not for some other than others, but for all, even the dogs that are prepared for hunting or farms or sheep. As in the hadith reported by Abu Dawood, authenticated by Albani, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tamah al-kalb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against taking the price of dog. And the ahadith which been reported on the distinguishing between the dogs which you can sell, which you cannot, or are ahadith weak ahadith, or denied by the scholars of hadith. And the ruling of forbidding the price of selling dogs, the money comes from selling dogs, is the opinion of the jumhur of ulama, meaning the majority of the scholars. And then we got to know that whatever dogs permissible to own, like the dog of hunting or farm or sheep, or the others which we mentioned, cannot be exempted from the ruling, the general rulings of dogs, like the saliva. Whenever the saliva comes into, or whenever the dog enters its tongue into a pot or a cup or whatsoever, then we got to clean it 7 times with water and 1 time with soil. And this is for all types of dogs. And there are different opinions in regard to the skin or the leather of the dog, the sweat of the dog, the tile of the dog, and the urine of the dog, whether these are treated same as the saliva or not. The proper opinion is that it is not, as the ruling came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who knew all these things can happen from dogs, but he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mention nothing of them, but he only mentioned that the saliva is badly impure. But for the dog that is prepared for hunting, what about the ruling of saliva of it? The ulama said, we have to look. If this dog hunted for itself because it is hungry, then even if you catch the hunted animal alive, you still do not eat from it, because the saliva must have already gone into the body. But when it is sent by the owner, then yes, but you wash the place where the dog bite for the saliva. Will this be treated like the pots and cobs and blades whenever the dog saliva is there? Meaning to wash them 7 times and the earth with soil? The proper opinion is no. This is only special for pots and cobs and blades, as well as dishes and whatsoever thoughts for food. Because the one who commanded to wash the pots knew about the saliva can come on the body of the hunted animal, but he, Prophet ﷺ, did say nothing about that. And the last question we have in regard to the saliva. Would the salt today or any chemical today take the place of soil, meaning wash the crop 7 times with water and 8 with any chemical? The answer is no. It got to be with soil as the Prophet ﷺ said. And today's science prove that there is a kind of illness that or viruses that never be killed except with soil. Unless if one does not find soil, then he can use the chemical. That was the first khutbah, and the second khutbah was begun by praising Allah, sending peace and blessings Abu Rasulullah ﷺ, and then I said, Amma ba'd. Afterward, O slaves of Allah, the fiqh in the religion, the fiqh or the proper understanding of the religion is from the affirmed requirements and prerequisites and from the beneficial things that the person ever have. And from here we say that although it is permissible to own the dogs we mentioned earlier for the reasons we also mentioned earlier, except that we have to know that there are some rulings of dogs need to be known by Muslims. First is the saliva of it is from the strongest impurities. And this impurity does not harm when it is found in other than pots, cups, plates and dishes. Meaning if it comes on the clothes or body, then we only need to wash it one time. But when it comes into containers of food, then we have to wash it 7 times and the earth with soil. And the third thing that we got to know is that these dogs must not get into the houses. And once the dog is in the house, willingly or unwillingly, the angels will stop getting into this house. And when the angels stop getting into this house, this means that the shayateen enters into this house. And these angels, by the way, are angels of mercy, not all the angels. The angels who are assigned to watch you, they will never leave you. But these are the angels which protect you from the shayateen. And the fourth is related to the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned dogs and prayers. He ﷺ said, as in the hadith, like the authority of Abu Huraira and Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, يقطع الصلاة الحمار والمرأة والكلب. The prayer can be cut off or broken by donkey, woman, and the dog whenever any of these cross in front of the person who is praying. And in the other hadith, which is agreed upon on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the black dog is made, is the worst of all dogs. All dogs breaks the prayer, but the black dog is worst of them. As the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, يَقْطَعُ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَرْأَةُ الْحَائِضُ وَالْكَلْبُ الْأَسْوَدُ. The woman who already reached an age of menstruation, and the dog, the black dog, both breaks the prayer. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Rasulullah ﷺ, why the black dog especially? He ﷺ said the black dog is a shaitan. as reported by Imam Ahmad and Ashab al-Sunan and authenticated by Albani. And we got to know that killing dogs is not permissible in Islam, except the aqur. The aqur is the one gone wild, which might bite anything on anybody that it faces. As in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, five fawasiq. Fawasiq is plural of fasiq. And fasiq is the one who gone out of control. Out of control. So, khamsun fawasiq. Tustannab al-hilli wal-haram. Five things to be killed, whether in the hill, which is out of the boundaries of haram, or inside the boundaries of haram. They must be killed. الحدأة والغراب. الحدأة is one of the birds. I don't know what you call the حدأة. Is one of the حدأة. I'll tell you. حدأة. نعم. It's a brown, big bird that eats dead animals. والغراب, which is the crow, والفأرات, the mouse, والعقرب, the scorpion, and الكلب العقور, the calf, which the dog which become wild dog. Sometimes it is normal dog, but it become wild because of an illness. So in that time, got to be killed. And another hadith, the snake instead of the scorpion. But for that, people do not say that the Muslims do not have any care about the animal rights. Then we present this hadith, which is reported by Imam Bukhari on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala has forgiven a prostitute woman who passed by a well, and a dog beside it, and a dog beside this well was very thirsty, and thirst was about to kill it. So she took her shoes and her khimar and made the khimar as a rope and sent the shoes, the khuf, down into the well and drag water for the dog to drink. So Allah Ta'ala forgive her for that. And in the other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَفِي كُلِّ ذَاتِ كِفْدِمْ رَطْبَةٍ أَجَرٍ. And each and everything that has a wit liver, meaning alive. Wit liver meaning life animal or person. There is a reward, meaning if you do good to it. So by that we understand that killing the dog is not a need in Islam, is not permissible in Islam. If these dogs are not wild, meaning they don't harm people, they don't attack people. But once they go wild and attack people, in Islam, as well as in any other religion, as well as in any other tradition, it got to be killed. Otherwise, it's going to kill humanly. So these are the rulings for the dogs. If you have any question, we can take yourself off. And even... Maybe the brothers and the sisters on the internet will have a question regarding this topic. Brother and sisters, in the internet is not here. Nothing, only a part from the earth. When you visit someone who has a dog, the question? In the West, you may have a neighbor who has a dog in the house. Are you allowed to enter this house? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to enter his house where there was as a curtain on the window. And he saw a salam stopped by the door. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, what make you to stop? Come in. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you know that the angels won't enter a house that has a dog or a picture hung on wall? So this means that we the Muslims should not enter, because we know that the angels of mercy do not enter that house. So any harm can happen to you. Anything can happen to you inside this house, because you are out of protection now. You are out of protection. Na'am, Allah. Now, if the picture is not exposed, meaning they turn it the other way around, this would not bring the angels to enter. But when they are exposed, when the picture is seen, and that, and if it is hidden, the moment that the picture is hidden, then the prevention is stopped. Whether it is because of you or because of whatsoever. Because then the angels will enter to protect you, but not those ones who show off or do not respect. Now, Allah. This is a good question. How will you buy a dog if it is haram to sell? If you are in a need for a dog, you need a dog for hunting or guarding, or police purposes, whatsoever, then you, if you cannot yani have it from the street, but from where they are, and raise them up and train them, then you're going to bind it. Now, you are out of the sin because you are in need. And we know that in Islam, the necessities raise harm. But the other one who sells the dogs, the money he takes is haram. Then we say better to see a kafir who sells dogs. So you don't both the Muslim or help the Muslim to be in haram. Allah. The dowry. يعني but يعني the money is obvious يعني يعني the thing that she is doing is yes. And what does that mean? What does that mean? And when the Prophet ﷺ said the dowry is not, I said the reward, correct? No, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. It's not the reward, it's the dowry. The dowry is forbidden. The dowry is forbidden to be given to a person. And we know that in Islam, there is no marriage without dowry. So that means you cannot marry the person. That's it. Except if she repents and become a woman of justice. And become a woman of justice. Allah. Now today's khutbah was about dogs, but we can speak about all other animals, but we don't want to make the khutbah too long. Otherwise, all these animals that Rasulullah mentioned, like snakes, scorpions, whatsoever, these animals which are forbidden, then it is haram to sell. It's haram to sell. I never come across, but whenever you hear the dogs, dogs and donkeys, whenever you hear the donkeys bray and the dogs barking, then you say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," but not seeing them only. Not only seeing them. I don't know if you come across something, but not seeing them. And the reason you say "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim" when you hear them is because they have seen shaitan. Huh? Yeah. And this will make you always in dhikr. As my wife is a little nervous about the chicken we have in the house, because my kids love chicken. But chicken does a lot of mess and dirt in the house. And she doesn't want them. I say, look, and they remind us of dhikr. But the Prophet of Salaam said, whenever you hear the rooster, what do you call that? Yal or what? Huh? Yal? Then you say, you make dua because then they have seen the angel. So it means it's a time for sifting. Another question, like, shall we do something? Subject. Say again. The drive. If this is in places where they allow a woman to drive and she can drive with her complete hijab, then it's okay, it's permissible. It's okay for her to drive, even if it is not a command from the brother, even if she wishes to drive. As the sister said last Friday, that sometimes driving the car be much more safer than getting public transport. But there are lots of us, as you mentioned, at any time. When if the car is broken, and if it is permitted to be inside the city but not outside the city. But these things, what can limit? What can what can limit it to only when they take the kids only inside the city? By the time people expand and they go beyond all limits and all agreements and ruling, this is well known from human being and mankind. So that's why we say it is permissible. It's permissible. It's not, as I said before, the driving itself is not haram. It's not haram. Allah.